You have your major players, the big guys. Then you've got your personal favorites, your hometown heroes, and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
.com if you're streaming live on the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte mobile app. Connor, you're smiling. What are you about to say?
Rookie mistake,
rookie
Mackie.
Rookie mistake, buddy. I had, in case you didn't hear, I had the mics not turned on. Bernie, help me out. Thank you so much, Bernie.
That's all good, Mackie.
We're all still learning in the studio, but that's what teamworks do.
I missed rookie mistake last night, or yesterday during the show.
So here we are. Why do you have to do it with me, man? Well, hold on. Yesterday... We started out with local traffic, Charlotte traffic. And it's a very rough thing to deal with. Yesterday, I actually called Connor immediately after this happened. I pulled about a 10-hour day here in the studio. I was board hopping for the Duke game. I got some stuff. All of our podcasts are now on the app and on our website.
Oh, yeah.
So if you missed a lot of shows.
We have a lot of blogs, too.
Exactly. We have a lot of content on the apps. On the website, definitely give those a look. But I left home, or I left here, was driving home. I got on 77, and so I'm getting on the interstate to go from 77 to 85 northbound towards Greensboro.
Yeah,
Bernie, I don't know if I told you this already, but a car from Pennsylvania stops on the on-ramp. If you recall me yesterday morning saying the most annoying thing about Charlotte driving are when people do not match the speed of the highway they're about to merge onto.
It's hard to merge, you know, Mac.
If you're not moving.
It's something you're born with.
They stop. And I kid you not.
They have to yield.
I bleep you not. They do a three-point turn on the on-ramp and go back behind me and turn back onto the road.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was going from... Freedom Drive is the one where Bojangles is up here to 77. So it wasn't like they weren't going back onto the interstate, but it was awful. In their defense,
they were probably from the Philadelphia area.
Probably. I didn't even honk
shots
or
fired.
Anything.
Yinzers won't do that.
Shots fired.
People from the Berg don't do that.
Mackie, when things like that happen, I either get enraged or it's so ridiculous that I'm just like, what is happening? Then I just start laughing.
That's how it was.
Like, you can't fix stupid.
No, it happened.
I ask. I pull up and I ask.
We're so close. Okay.
Sorry, boys. I forgot to let you know when the legal ID was about to play. I've just been failing a little bit here to start off the show. Go ahead and say it, Connor.
Rookie mistake, Mackie. I wasn't thinking about that either.
Didn't it take us like six shows to even
Well, we
that
finally
happen.
Got it for the first time yesterday, wasn't
yeah, yeah.
it? But speaking of ridiculous, we do have a Yankee fan in the studio right now. He said he might not be emotionally... there to talk about the game last night.
We have a Yankee fan in the studio.
Yeah, I think his name is
Connor. Connor has abandoned ship, it appears.
Bernie?
Connor was the Yankee fan here.
Well, the Yankees.
I have not abandoned ship. I am just the captain of it while it's sinking.
You go down with the ship, man.
I am so going down with that ship.
Yankees have such a good team, but so many Yankees
fans
feel like this is it. Burn it down.
No.
You guys were two games away from the World Series this year against an amazing Astros team.
And 2017, we're one game away from the World Series.
There you go.
Against
knocking on the door.
A little bit worse of an Astros team. This is the first,
I believe, was it a decade that the Yankees haven't been in the World Series since 1910?
I believe it.
I think I read that. Maybe in a 20-year span?
Oh, like the 2010s?
Mm-hmm.
I can really see that. That's crazy.
I can't believe I didn't break my phone nor my TV last night after Altuve sent that over.
And shouts out to Altuve. Putting on for the short guys.
Thank you, Jose Altuve. Shout out, Altuve. Shout out to Aroldis Chapman, who left an 84-mile-an-hour slider up and away for Jose Altuve. You know the guy's one of the best hitters in baseball. You know he's going to send that ball over. The dude is what? 5 foot, like
six.
One?
Six.
I didn't mean that literally 5 foot one. But
last night he was like 7 feet tall.
The dude's leading the postseason in home runs. The guy's got five postseason home runs. Where they're just about to start the World Series. I mean, this guy is incredible.
Can make a case for the MVP if they do in the World Series.
He won the ALCS MVP. You know who should have won it? Aroldis Chapman, who left that slider right over the plate for him.
So you're telling me if Aroldis Chapman didn't weave that slider over the plate that he would have probably won ALCS MVP?
Throw the cheese. This guy can throw 105 miles an hour.
Do you know how fast Chapman throws his fastball?
Now, this used to be the closer on the Cubs a few years ago. Okay,
it's dirty. Yes, and the Cubs got him from the Yankees, if you're wondering.
And then he came back to the Yankees?
The Yankees have Gleyber Torres.
Ooh. Really?
Yep, they got Gleyber Torres as part of that Chapman trade.
Look at Connor.
Some young talent.
Some real good young talent. But anyway, if Chapman, why doesn't Chapman challenge him with a fastball, right? I mean, you're thinking, okay, bottom of the ninth, two out. Two out and a runner on.
I didn't realize it was two out walk off. I just saw.
There's two outs. Two outs. All you had to do was get him. Get him. I told Bailey last night. I told my roommate last night. On the top of the ninth, after DJ hit that home run, right? Aaron Judge is up next. Right? Blown save for the Astros. You think that the Yankees could just tack it on here? I tell him. I said, Bales, if they don't score here, it's over. And he said, "What? Why would you say that?" And I said, "Just trust me."
Because I'm a Yankees fan and I know.
I said, "Just trust me." I'm not trying to be like that.
I know what I'm talking
for
about.
For real.
When I watch a Hornets game and it's fourth quarter and we're up by 10, I know we're going to lose. Like, it's just what it is. I understand you completely.
You're coming up. You're coming up through one of the best lineups in baseball, if not the best lineup in baseball. You know what I mean?
And it looked like it was in the bulk of the lineup based on who hit the walk-off. It was Jose Altuve.
Well, it was the bottom of the lineup, and then it was.
Where does Altuve hit?
Altuve hits one.
Springer,
so it came back up Altuve, to the top of the lineup.
Altuve, I think, batted second last.
I was saying, because isn't Correa right
after?
Yeah,
it was Correa. It wasn't Springer. It was Correa.
Semantics.
So
pitter-patter.
Pitter-patter. Chapman, though, thank you. Thank you for ending the Yankees season. I didn't want to watch the Yankees in the World Series at all or anything. I don't know. I know the guy's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and that wasn't the only thing. That's not the only reason.
No, it's definitely not. But
the DH spot.
I blame
two hits among both teams at the DH spot this series.
Dang, so
two.
They weren't doing much there.
Runners in scoring position was the biggest outing for the Yankees. You know what I mean? Last game. When the Yankees lost 8-3, so two games ago, they left 10 people on base, and they were 0-7 with runners in scoring position. Are you surprised?
No. Because I remember on Q Show Friday, y'all were saying how, what was it? Is that the game where you just said they left double-digit runners on base, right?
Yeah.
In scoring position? My gosh. That's one of those stats in baseball you can't
That's how it was all series, though. That's how it was all series. The Yankees kept leaving runners on base. You know, bases loaded, not being able to connect with the bases loaded. Do you think these Yankees teams from the early 2000s would ever allow that to happen?
No.
You know, Encarnacion striking out with the bases loaded and two outs? You can't do that. Gleyber Torres comes up with the bases loaded and one out? You can't do that. Come on. We need to swing the bat. Put the ball in play at least, right? Don't strike out. Put the ball in play, because if you put the ball in play and it's on the field, you have a chance to get on and you have a chance to score runs.
And you've mentioned this multiple times on the Rookies, on Q Show, in blogs. You say that the Yankees failing to convert with runners in scoring position, the failing to get those runners home was probably one of the main issues in the playoffs, definitely in the ALCS. Why do you think that is? What was going on with the Yankees to where they just couldn't score when there were runners on second and third base?
Well, you know what it is? The only player that actually truly hits for average in New York is DJ LeMahieu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've all seen that. Dude hit over 330 this season. Right
over
behind
400
him
in the playoffs, right?
What's up?
Over 400 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And it was 346, actually.
Okay.
It close. Sank. Yeah, he didn't have a good game in the Yankees' victory the other night. But the only player close is Gio Urshela, right? Third baseman, comes out of Cleveland. You don't think this guy's going to play a game, right? You have Miguel Andujar as your third baseman. Guy sets a record for doubles, as a rookie record for doubles, beats Joe DiMaggio. Kind of a big deal now.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Good old Joe.
Heck of a player in DiMaggio. And then you think he's going to be your third baseman coming into the season. Mm-hmm. He goes down. Troy Tulowitzki goes down. Remember, the Yankees had Tulo in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and then
they signed him, right? He was going to
retired?
Help. He did retire, yeah.
He was going to help platoon because Didi Gregorius got Tommy John surgery.
Yep.
And Glaber, who is a natural shortstop, was going to go over to short. They were going to have and platoon Tulowitzki and LeMahieu. And LeMahieu was also going to play some time at first, some time at third. And the Yankees had Luke Voit and Greg Bird. Whatever happened to Greg Bird?
I went to a Yankees-Colorado Rocky game in 2007 when we went had a little family trip over to Yellowstone. And I was a huge Yankee fan at the time. A-Rod hit a home run. I liked that.
What did
A-Rod.
You just say?
Huge Yankee fan at the time.
I was, because that's where I grew up. Mm. I grew up with my mom begging me to be a Yankee fan. And when I visited my family up in New York in 2006, 2007, and 2008, those are the first three MLB games I went to. And then I went to the Nationals games.
I feel this pressure building, Connor.
I don't think I've ever heard him say that before.
Because I didn't tell a story about me being younger, visiting family in New York and going across country.
I think now Connor might like you a little more.
I don't think that's true.
No, because I jumped off the
and onto the Nationals bandwagon.
Because I went to a Yankees Orioles game where Randy Johnson was pitching. That was like 2006.
You guys have never seen Mackey in anything Nationals. He is a Yankees fan. He's just a bandwagoner right now.
No, listen.
So I've never seen Mackey talk baseball before.
Oh
now the
God.
Nationals are in the World Series and the Yankees are out, and he wants to flex that he's now a Nationals fan.
Because I showed y'all, because I knew y'all were going to say that crap. I knew you were going to say that about him. I've never seen you wearing
that. There was
Nationals
an IG
thing.
Post from how long ago?
2016. Okay. I showed you wearing that sweatshirt.
3 years.
And I also have only known you for like 2 months.
Those were the dog days for the Nats. Couldn't get over the hump.
Exactly, 2016.
It's Mackey's ex-girlfriend's sweatshirt. That's who it is.
I hate you, bro.
He took her sweatshirt.
So, World Series. We've got the Stros and the Nats. Who do we think can actually come out of this thing?
We didn't end this Yankee talk.
Do you want to keep talking about the Yankees?
Do you not want to recap the rest of the series? I mean, we don't have to recap the rest of the series.
I mean, Yankees lost. What's there to recap?
All right, bandwagoner. Let's go, Conductor Mackey. Take us to where we need to be.
Let's talk about the Nationals, a team of the sweatshirt I own and have owned for multiple years.
What was her name?
What?
Did she break up with you? Did you break up with her?
I don't have girlfriends. You know this, Connor. Why you got to make me talk about this
Mackey's
on air?
Mackey's only got side pieces.
I only have y'all two.
This is a couple of years ago. I'm just saying.
We need to change that.
I mean,
y'all.
If we are all you have, then that is not very good.
Yeah, I've noticed that a while back.
So.
But Astros and Nationals, because, you know, since apparently I'm a huge Nationals fan, I'm looking forward to the pitching in the Nationals against this high-powered offense of the Astros, which we just saw on display yesterday in that 6-4 win to clinch the American League and head to the World Series.
Did you boys know that the Nationals had a .01% chance
May 23rd.
Of winning the pennant?
Mm-hmm. That was when they were like crazy? The worst. That was like,
isn't that crazy?
Because they've been the best team in baseball statistically and by the record since May 24th. That's when they just started going on their run. It's insane.
I think Justin Kutcher said this yesterday about the pitching matchup because I was listening to you all on my way to Albemarle. I think he talked about the first three, how it's going to set up with Gerrit Cole versus Scherzer and Strasburg versus
Verlander,
and then it's going to be
Corbin versus
Greinke. And
Greinke. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, those are all.
That's a hell of a three-game stretch.
Yeah, and
I'm really excited to see that.
I think, though, that they start Anibal Sanchez over they start Patrick Corbin because of what Patrick Corbin did against the Dodgers was not great. You know, in that relief appearance against the Dodgers, they rocked him.
Yeah, he got lit
him.
Up. Mm-hmm.
They rocked him. So what I think they'll do is I think they'll bounce over to Anibal Sanchez, you know, you got to go with the hot hand, and he's been great this playoffs.
He has.
I think they start Sanchez over Corbin in game three, and Corbin goes game four, which, if need be, to where they don't go back to Max Scherzer for game four, that is a great game four starter to have. Absolutely is.
I'm ready. I'm ready to finally see Max Scherzer pitch in the World Series. And I've been wanting to ask y'all this question. How much of a factor is Bryce Harper not being on this team, if any, plays into the Nationals making the World Series?
If the Nationals win the World Series, I said this Friday night, Bryce Harper's got to get a ring. for leaving.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think it was really that huge? Like, I couldn't. There has to be some truth to it.
It's a different team than it was last year. The pitching has picked up a lot better than it has been in the last couple of years. But Bryce Harper is that type of person, and he's that type of player to where you want him in all of these epic moments and all of these clutch situations, and he cannot deliver for all of them. So he, I'm not putting Bryce Harper down.
No, I agree with that completely.
Bryce Harper is a very good baseball player, but I think him not being on this team factors them getting to the World Series.
Especially in the playoffs, too, because the last couple of years, Bryce Harper kind of lackluster in the playoffs.
They're playing small ball. They have guys who can run the bases. They've got guys who can put the ball over the fence. You know what I mean? They've got guys that can play very well defensively. I think they've gotten better in every aspect of the game since losing Bryce Harper. And again, not to knock Bryce Harper, but he's a home run hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a cannon for an arm. You know what I mean? He doesn't hit for average. He doesn't have the best eye at the plate. But Bryce Harper, I think him not being on this team is part of the reason why the Nationals are making the World Series, and I'm sticking to it.
I agree with that.
And guys, one of the big reasons they've been so successful in the League Championship Series round, the Nationals are batting .393 with runners in scoring position. The other three teams, Yankees are .148, Astros .121, Cardinals .111.
That's a crazy stat.
They are crushing
Yankees
with
hit
runners
148
in,
with runners in scoring
they
position.
Did.
Your boys wondering why Astros are going to the World Series.
Well, the Astros hit 121.
If the Astros sent more balls over the wall.
That's true. Absolutely right.
Now,
but that's crazy stat to hear.
No, it really is. I'm glad you brought that up.
Scoring position.
I'm glad you brought that up. Do you think the Nationals will be able to do that still in the World Series? Because, you know, they had that crazy series with the Dodgers in the division series, and then they just ran right through the St. Louis Cardinals. Payback, I guess, for beating their fellow division Atlanta Braves. And then now they're going to the World Series against the Astros. And I think my thing is I don't want to see the Nationals just go downhill, kind of the way the Cardinals did. I don't want them to have a great playoff run and a great end of the season just to get obliterated when it matters most.
So as the years go on and as generations improve, players get more athletic, right? We're more athletic than we were 100 years ago. We're a lot bigger and a lot stronger than we were 100 years ago. But not only are we relying on what we're becoming, we're using a lot of statistics and we're using a lot of video. And that's a really big part of baseball right now. So having all this extra time, what it's going to do, it's going to allow the Nationals to prep more for the Houston Astros. Now, I don't know if... I mean, there is such a thing called over-prepping. I don't know if they're going to overthink it, and I don't know if they'll underdo it, but what the Nationals need to do is they need to study the Astros. That lineup, 1 through 9, you have to know what's coming and when. You know, the pitching staff, too, you need to know their staffers. So you need to know what Zach Greinke likes to throw at an 0-2 count, right? You need to know what Zach Greinke likes to throw 1-2 or 2-1. You always want to get ahead of the count, but wherever you can make up for it, especially against a team like the Houston Astros, the Nationals need to capitalize on it. I think they have the ability, and they definitely have the talent to do that moving forward.
Yeah, and they haven't played against a starting rotation quite like the Astros this year. I mean, the Cardinals couldn't pitch Flaherty until the third game because he started game 5 of the NLCS.
Right.
NLDS. So they're facing somebody or a team that they're not really accustomed to seeing, a pitching staff that's really good. But the last three starts for their three starters, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin. Scherzer had 11 Ks, Strasburg had 12, Patrick Corbin had 12. They're the first MLB team in postseason history to have three straight pitchers get 11-plus Ks.
And the Nationals definitely have a better bullpen than the Astros do.
Yeah.
So I think moving forward, if the starters can go 6-7 innings, I think there's no reason Washington can't win this. Do I think that they're a better team than the Houston Astros? No. But they certainly have the talent to beat them this series. They definitely can come out on top.
And real quick, what predictions do y'all have for the World Series? I'm very excited because I don't think many people expected the Nationals to be where they are. But now they're facing the Astros in the 2019 World Series. So what are some predictions y'all have? Who do you think is going to win and how many games?
I got the Nats in 6. I'm going to say it. Nats in 6. I think there's more pressure on the Astros than the Nationals.
It can definitely go 7. I think it will.
I think it will too. I'm gonna
Houston in seven.
All right, I'm gonna choose Nats in seven. This is the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Don't go anywhere. Panthers are on a bye week, but we are not. Panther Talk will be back after this break.
We crack jokes about you guys in the promos because it's fun. Live with the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to the Rookies. We are going to transform from going into baseball. We're going to talk a little bit of the Panthers. The Carolina Panthers are on their bye week this week. We're going to look into some of the things that we liked and disliked coming into the bye week and what they need to do out of the bye week to stay undefeated with Kyle Allen as their quarterback. But that could start as one of the things coming from the bye week, boys. Do you want to hop right into the Cam Kyle situation? You want to do likes, dislikes? How do you guys want to approach this? Because there's so much to talk about for us right now, and I'm really excited to get into it.
Why don't we just go with Cam and Kyle?
That's what I was about to say.
That's been on everybody's
minds. As soon as I looked up, I saw you two want to talk about it.
Here in Charlotte.
That's got to be the hottest question in the Queen City right now.
It's so hot right now.
Not with you saying that, Bernie. All right, so who wants to go first? Because I know everybody probably has their own opinion on this. So we're going to do a nice little...
I'll go.
We'll go in order.
I'll go.
Nice civilized conversation.
Why does Bernie always have to go first?
Because he's the oldest.
I'm just playing.
So
we respect our elders.
Come back at him. You have a big head, Mackie.
I do.
Literally.
I really do.
And figuratively.
Both.
So the hot topic this week has been Cam and Kyle. And I wrote it on a blog. You guys can check it out on foxsportscharlotte.com. You're also listening to Fox Sports Charlotte 94.7 FM.
Radio Charlotte.
Excuse me. So in this blog, I wrote that there's no way. I don't think anybody has ever made the argument that Kyle Allen is a better quarterback than Cam Newton when Cam is 100% healthy. There's no contest. And I know Connor's rolling his eyeballs. I don't care, Connor. You're crazy if you think that 100% healthy Cam Newton is not better than Kyle Allen.
Dude.
Now, if I see videos, listen.
This is Bernie's time.
I'm listening.
If I see videos, which they will post, of Cam Newton sprinting at practice. Now, Connor has taken a very aggressive frontal facing of me while I talk. If I see videos like that of Cam sprinting, he's 100% healthy, no pain, then throw him out there. But I don't think we should throw him out there against San Fran. I think be precautionary. Just let Kyle Allen have one more week against a really good San Fran team. I think this will be a good test, see what we have in Kyle Allen. And if anything, Kyle Allen has made himself some really good money this offseason if we don't happen to retain him as a backup quarterback.
I'm very happy that you brought up the argument with Kyle Allen not being as good as a 100% healthy Cam Newton. The issue is, when will we ever see a healthy Cam Newton? Can we listen to the coaching staff, the training staff, when they say that? When you talk about this debate, so let's talk about who is best for the Panthers right now. When you talk about this debate with Kyle Allen and Cam Newton, Kyle Allen is 5-0 as a starter in his career, 4-0 this season, hasn't thrown an interception, only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win his first five starts without an interception. Everybody knows that. There are a few things I am seeing with Kyle Allen that I'd like to see transferred over to Cam Newton when Cam Newton comes back and plays for the Carolina Panthers. One of those is Cam has to get the ball out quicker. That's not really a hot take. A lot of people agree with that fact. You've been seeing fewer sacks with Kyle Allen. That's because he gets the ball out quick. That's in this aspect of the game, this is where you see Kyle Allen play more like a backup. When Cam Newton and the pocket is collapsing, Cam Newton probably has more faith in himself and more confidence in himself that he can get out of most situations on the field, even though that's not true.
If his foot's healthy.
So you see him hold on to that ball because he'll try to break the first two defensive linemen or linebackers trying to get him down. Then eventually the pocket just collapses and he just goes down easily. But you cannot say Kyle Allen is a better individual quarterback than Cam Newton, which I have had conversations with Bernie. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen is a game manager. He's good.
Look, now Kyle Allen has made some really good throws.
But we
haven't seen Cam make those throws in a while, and I think that's why it seems like Kyle Allen's such a good quarterback.
Boys, who was the MVP of the National Football League in 2015?
Cam Newton.
Right. There's a reason he was the MVP of the National Football League in 2015 and not right now in 2019, Not right now, or not last year in 2018.
Okay, let's beg. I'll stop you right there.
Cam is a different player than he was 4 years ago. Okay,
yeah,
Cam
that's facts.
Is not. I know it's facts, and that's why it's
facts
time
only.
To go to Kyle.
Oh, time to go to Kyle because
Cam
he's not
doesn't
the same.
Have it right now. When was the last time you saw a healthy Cam Newton? Do you know the last time you watched Cam Newton? You thought to yourself, Mackie, wow, that's a healthy Cam Newton.
Last year,
it was Baltimore.
In the first six games.
But
I'm not even kidding.
I will say this. Right now, no matter if Cam Newton comes back and says he's healthy, if Kyle Allen hasn't lost, you keep Kyle Allen in.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
But I'm saying I don't agree with people who are just immediately saying Kyle Allen is taking Cam's job. Cam won as a starting quarterback, has a right to come back and fight for his job. But as a Cam fan—
Well, Drew Bledsoe might have something to say
and
about
that. And as a Panther fan— I do want to see wins more than anything. And Kyle Allen is winning. And if you take Kyle Allen out when he's on a win streak to put in Cam Newton, and if Cam Newton loses that first game, it's over. It's over. Carolina will no longer have any love for Cam Newton.
But that's why they have to wait until— Not even one loss. I wouldn't even give it a loss because, you know what?
Ooh.
Kyle Allen can come out here and have a heck of a game against the 49ers. But the 49ers are what, 5-0?
6-0, I think.
6-0? I don't know when their bye was.
No, 5-0. 5-0.
Because
they had a bye last week.
It was
they're playing the Redskins today.
Oh, so they're 6-0.
Yes. Essentially. It's in Washington. Kyle Shanahan's ready to go back there and beat that.
I lost my train of thought. I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, because of how good of a team the Niners are, if he loses that game, you have to give him a second chance. You know, I mean, do you boys agree? Do you disagree? Let's fight.
If Cam Newton is reported healthy, which— He is getting ready to go back to practice. He's reported to be practicing. Being ready for practice and being ready for a game are two very different things. I would say I agree with that. If Kyle Allen loses to the 49ers and Cam Newton still isn't there, which, like I said, who knows if that will ever be, leave Kyle Allen in. But I'm fine with taking Kyle Allen out of the lineup if Cam Newton is healthy after his loss. I do not want to see Kyle Allen come out from that quarterback position and stay on the sideline if he is still undefeated.
It all depends on how he plays against San Fran. For
this, this is a big test. He proved himself against Houston. That was a big test.
It's the fumbles.
Houston's a very good team.
The fumbles are what everybody is hanging on to. Yes, he didn't fumble last week. That's the one thing I feel like he's not done great, is just ball security.
But what playing time has this kid had before this year? The kid started one prior game, right?
Last year against New Orleans.
Yeah, but when you fumble five times or seven times through, what, four or five
games? That's going to raise eyebrows.
But he stopped.
It certainly is.
He stopped. That's all that matters.
2-3-1. So it was two against Arizona, three against Houston, and once against Jacksonville.
All right. And so I do want to go back to last year, since everybody wants to say, when was the last time you've seen Cam? When was the last time you've done all this? You're a fool if you don't think that there was any kind of transformation in Cam Newton's play after that hit in Pittsburgh. But going back to 2018, Cam Newton played 14 games, probably six games too many than he should have. Because halfway through the second part of the season, they had to put in Taylor Heineke to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah, against
that
Cleveland.
Was against Baltimore.
Cleveland.
They did that in Baltimore,
they probably
too.
Did it a few times.
Okay, yeah, because they played Baltimore.
With time remaining in the half, they brought Heineke into to send one downfield.
Yeah, because Baltimore played Carolina at home or at Carolina
in
last
Carolina,
year.
Yep.
But Taylor Heineke, and so now you're immediately telling the league, you're telling the defenses, hey, our quarterback can't throw down the field. And so Cam Newton in 2018, 14 games, 68. This is the season's final stats. 68% completion percentage. I don't think the completion percentage is that big of a deal, but apparently with Cam Newton it is. Almost 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. In an individual game, his lowest completion percentage was 60. All right, they beat Dallas Cowboys in week one, 16-8. Week two, they lose to Atlanta, and he threw for 335 yards, three touchdowns. Then they beat Cincinnati. They beat the New York Giants on that field goal, and then they lose to Washington because they
63
lose
yard.
63
bomb.
Yard. And they lost to Washington because DJ Moore fumbled three times. This is why I was getting mad with the Kyle Allen fumbles. And Q and B Notes on the show said it's not that big of a deal. And I was like, last year there was a game to where the Panthers lost solely because the Redskins scored on the fumbles that DJ Moore had.
What's the
Steelers almost weekly between between James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster.
What's the old adage? If you win the turnover battle, you will win the game like 90% of the time. It's ridiculous. I mean, look at last week. We got six turnovers from Jameis, and they still almost came back. We'll get onto that later. But it's just this defense has been really good.
And after that, we're going to definitely get into the defense in a minute. But after the Washington game, you have the game that still makes me furious. It still does. You are going to against a team who later went on to fight in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl that year. Or excuse me, the year before. You're playing the defending Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. You are down 17-0 going into the fourth quarter. Cam Newton comes out and the Panthers score 21 unanswered points.
I remember that.
21 unanswered points, two touchdowns, 50 rushing yards, almost 275 passing yards, and not a peep from anybody. Fine, that's cool. Cam Newton, the defense, quit playing for Philadelphia. That was an excuse I heard. The next week, the number one defense at that point in the season last year comes in the Bank of America Stadium, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. And we annihilate them, 36-21.
That was great to
listen
watch.
To Mac.
Cam Newton, two touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, 21 of 29, 220 yards. The next week, you go against Tampa Bay. You win 42-28. Cam Newton, two touchdowns, 250 yards, 133 rating. The week after that, the hit against Pittsburgh. Finished the game with 200 yards, two touchdowns. And then the next game, they lose to Detroit because Graham Gano missed the extra point, field goal.
I know Q brings up those passing yards in that game, but I brought it up too. A chunk of those yards were from Ed Dixon catching a 5-yard slant and going 90 yards with it. He had under 300 yards in a majority of his games last year, and he was completing passes that were not very long. You look at his longest passes completed in each game; it goes down almost every game.
And because he can't go anywhere with the shoulder. Yep. But
Kyle Allen's starting quarterback
right now. I'm not disagreeing with that. But when you have a backup quarterback come in and they win games, yes, thank you, very good. But what has he really shown? Really shown as an individual player? As an individual player, what has he shown that he is better than Cam Newton? Kyle Allen, you're winning. You stay in the game. You start.
I've still just got to see Cam one more time.
Exactly. Cam Newton has a right to come back.
If I see Cam again this year and he looks like he's spent. He's not the guy.
Mm-hmm. You know what it's like?
Then I'll be willing to admit it. But a healthy Cam Newton is better than Kyle Allen. I'll put my money on that.
It's like breaking up with your significant other and you want to see him one last time before they go.
I will say this. Last year.
I'm being dead serious. Going back to Mackey getting a national sweatshirt.
I will say this. Last year, Mitch Trubisky and the Bears went 11-3. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers went 6-9-1.
I would say Aaron Rodgers is much better than Mitch. Defense was the difference.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
Defense was the difference. Oh, did y'all hear that?
But I'll make the argument. What did Cam do with the top five defense for 3 years in a row? We went to a Super Bowl.
But did he have a MVP contender? Did he have Devin Funchess and Kaven Clay as his two main wide receivers?
Oh, it was Ted Ginn that year.
I'm talking about after 2015.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did sign Ken.
That's what I'm saying. Because everybody knows about 2015. We don't need to talk about that right now. But after that, but what I'm saying is Jared Goff and the Rams went 13-3. That's because you have Aaron Donald. You have Todd Gurley.
They had all those players, in all fairness, before, but they had Jeff Fisher. And Jeff Fisher is the classic 7-9 guy. If you get Jeff Fisher, I don't care how low. He would go to the Patriots right now, and they would go 7-9.
But the thing is, the football is the ultimate team sport.
Yeah.
And when you look at an individual player and say that he's better than another player because the team is winning, you have to take a step back and look at the context in which the team is winning in. Because right now, this is a whole different story for the Carolina Panthers. I want to talk about the defense a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I think that's what's playing a factor. And I know right now, I definitely sound angry. I definitely sound agitated. I'm agitated with the arguments. I'm not agitated with Kyle Allen. I'm fed up.
That's good. Kyle would appreciate that.
Kyle would appreciate that. I'm a fan of Kyle Allen. I thought Taylor
Heineke. Listener of the show, reoccurring guest. Kyle Allen is just everything you want in a person.
Dude, if he keeps winning, man, you keep him in.
Yeah.
That's the underlying thing.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you were talking defense, Mackie, and I think that's one of our big things that we really like about this team this year. They lead the league in sacks right now. My biggest thing is that they're 19th in points allowed. And granted, they've played some really good offenses, a few top 10 offenses. I know the Bucs, the Rams, the Jaguars are about 17th, I think. but they allowed 27 points to them. I'd love to see us cut down on the amount of points we allow. Obviously, we're forcing turnovers, but the sacks is the biggest thing. I mean, the year that we went to the Super Bowl, I think we led the league in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the quarterback.
And you said sacks is a huge thing. I want to talk about the difference. I'm going to tie this back into Cam Kyle.
Okay.
Last year, Panthers are ranked 27th when it came to the pass rush. 27th. This year, Panthers are ranked 8th. Last year, the 2018 secondary for the Carolina Panthers had 13 interceptions all year. Through 6 games this season, the Panthers secondary has 9.
Oh, yeah.
If they get 4 more interceptions, they match. That sounded sexy. If they get 4 more interceptions, they match their total of interceptions for last season. And so when you have a defense playing together, playing better,
yeah,
the offense is going to play well. And that's what you want. I'm not saying I want the defense to play bad so people will see how bad Kyle Allen is. No. But you have to take in the context.
When your team is putting up points, in all fairness, it's a lot easier for the defense to just kind of pin their ears back and get after mm-hmm. the quarterback. I mean, you've got a lead. It's easier to play defense. You ask any defensive player, that's the thing. Like, they can call more aggressive plays because you have more cushion. And that I feel like that's making it easier for our defense, sure. But, yeah, they're playing fantastic right now, and they're able to get after the quarterback. Brian Burns has been incredible. What a great draft pick at 16. How did he fall that far?
And we have another draft pick that is going off right now, Vernon Butler.
Yeah.
He was drafted in 2016.
And we didn't pick up his fifth-year option, which could end up biting us in the ass. I mean, he's going to make some money in free agency. What?
What?
What are you looking at?
Oh, I thought
for?
You looked like you were going to say something.
I'm just giving Bernie.
I'll get Vernon Butler in here right
I'm
now.
I'm just giving Bernie dirty looks.
Well, Vernon Butler has been kind of underwhelming throughout ever since he's been drafted in 2016. Yeah. But this year, or the highest amount of sacks he's ever gotten in a season was 1.5. This year, he has 3 sacks, all of them forcing a fumble.
He's filling in for KK Short.
Yeah, that's in the absence of Short, because Short is on the season-ending IR. So this Panther team, and my friend put it well, my friend Nick, he said, we might be seeing one of the best Panther teams all around in terms of offensive talent, defensive depth, all that stuff, and just the worst Cam Newton. And I think that's what's frustrating about it, because ever since 2015, we haven't been able to match that team. But finally, we got DJ Moore, who's showing out. Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey can potentially win the MVP. And the Panthers went out and stocked up that defense in free agency.
You think if 2015 Cam was on this team right now, they'd win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I do. Yeah, I do.
But I've accepted that 2015 Cam is no longer coming back.
2015 Cam's back in 2015.
It's 2019.
But he could still be a great player. But 2015 is when he just absolutely dominated
Cam's just another
the competition.
Baby, didn't he?
He did. He's got 4 kids now. Congratulations, Cam.
Congratulations, Cam, on that baby. But with the Panthers' defense, it's just
Cam
completely
lost
different.
Starting job.
Do what?
Jalen Ramsey had a baby, and he got his starting job back in L.A.
I said Cam gained a child and lost the starting job.
And real quick, let's also talk about the differences.
Mac, you don't want to hear about
and
it.
And let's also talk about the first 2 games compared to the last 4. First 2 games, the Panthers have had a total of 4 turnovers, turned the ball over 4 times. That does play into Cam Newton a little bit. And 1 takeaway, so they're -3. Panthers didn't score off that 1 takeaway, and they only had 4 sacks. Their last 4 games, they have turned the ball over 5 times. They have 14 takeaways. Panthers have scored 54 points off their 14 takeaways, including 20 on Sunday when they had 7 against Tampa Bay, and they scored 20 points off those 7 turnovers at Tampa Bay.
We are throwing some stats out there that are probably making people's heads spin. I just want to throw that out
there. The Panthers so far have they lead the league in sacks. I want the listeners to have context based on this argument. That's all I want. Because right now you have people playing at an unprecedented level for the Carolina Panthers, and they have and then you have the backup quarterback in Kyle Allen, who is playing well. But I don't think that you can say that he can just take Cam Newton's job based on the win and loss record this season.
Yeah, and guys, we got a couple more things to talk about with the Panthers. Conservative play calling. It's been a thing here for so long. We're going to touch on that. We're also going to talk a little more NFL coming out of the break, so don't go anywhere.
Go where?
Anywhere.
On Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Connor Sherman, Bernie, Mackie G here in the studio with you. We just talked some Panthers defense, talked Cam and Kyle Allen debate, the debate that's been going on in North Carolina pretty much since the week 2 Tampa Bay game. Now let's talk about some conservative play calling, which it seems it hasn't changed in the Ron Rivera era here. I do like saying that, Ron Rivera
before
era.
Before that, can we talk about them sick beats DJ D-Mac is laying on us, bro?
Sick beats.
Look at them beat mixtures he's making over here.
I'm trying to just get it pumping in here.
You could play Gravedigger's Ball. Diplo who?
I am. I'm actually working that Gravedigger's Ball with Diplo, I think. Well, we're both working that.
No, not anymore.
Oh, you left me?
Well, for something else.
Okay, so I feel bad now.
All right, conservative play calling in Carolina. It is not good when they're ahead.
I've brought up the Spider-Man meme, you know, where they're pointing at each other.
Yes.
So I feel like it's Ron Rivera and John Fox. Ron Rivera had that 1 year outside of being Riverboat Ron. He's been really conservative. As long as I can remember, the Panthers have been so conservative with their play calling. As long as I can remember.
Oh, good memory.
Going back to Nick Goings, if you remember who Nick Goings is, 3rd and 15, let's run a draw play. This is John Fox era now. We had no running backs at that point. And Nick Goings was like a fullback. 3rd and 15, let's run a draw play. Every freaking time. And I feel like I see the same thing every week. And then when we do get up on teams, 30 points, 20 points, we take our foot off the gas.
Always.
Sorry, we don't want to beat you too bad. I'm sorry. This is the NFL. If you can't stop our offense, then you need to get off the field.
Okay. Other teams do not slow down on the Panthers either.
No, exactly. Nobody it feels like we're one of the only teams in the league that's like, oh, we respect the opponent. BS, dude. This is a grown man's league. And if I can put up 50, 60 points on you, I'm going to do it. This is Madden. This is Madden, dude. I'm so tired of Ron Rivera having all this offensive talent.
Anything within 4th and 4, you do not punt.
Absolutely. No punts and onside kicks every
time. This is Madden.
But I'm so sick of us. Like last week against Tampa Bay, we were up 34-10. We ended up winning. Ooh, that was rough. We ended up winning 34-26. That should not happen. And it was still like a game at the end. Like
Tampa Bay game?
Tampa Bay had a chance to win the game.
We got 7 takeaways.
And they still had a chance. That's not good. So that's my thing, is that we had 31 rushing yards on the day. Clearly running the ball wasn't working against one of the top rushing defenses against the league. They proved it against Christian McCaffrey in week 2 when we lost to them. They're good at the run, okay? Let's run 3 straight running plays and eat up, what, a minute of clock? Great job. Great job.
Great job.
Leave them with 8 minutes left, and they're only down by 11 points. That's a great job.
How's he doing over there, Bunny? Is he doing all right?
I'm over it. I'm over this conservative play calling, and I've been dealing with it for years.
We've even seen it in that magical 2015 season. I went up to New York for a game. I caught that Giants game where the whole Josh Norman and OBJ were having those issues and stuff like that. And Josh Norman and OBJ were fighting the whole entire game. And the Panthers were up, I'm pretty sure, 31-7 at one point. And remember, the Giants came back because you get that GIF, or is it GIF or GIF?
It's a GIF.
It's a GIF. You get that GIF and GIF
Connor
to where Cam Newton just has a towel on his head and he looks over to the side and it's like, all right, let's go do this. You know the one I'm talking about?
Is it a towel or is it one of his fancy scarves?
It's whenever it was in the New York Giants game in 2015 whenever they scored that. They scored that touchdown.
That's the one
I'm talking
about.
All right, let's go.
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
They ran out of field and scored that game-winning touchdown.
And it's just always been an issue. I don't understand why the Panthers just can't knock someone out ever.
Because they have respect for people, Mackie. And that's big. Because the NFL is big on respect and like morals and being good to people.
Wait,
and stuff
what?
Like that. I was being sarcastic. Did you catch it? You can see my face. They can't.
I would have caught it a lot better than Nelson Aguilar.
That was a great video, by the way. But yeah, conservative play calling, I think, has been one of the big things that pisses Panthers fans off. We never just beat the crap. Arizona Cardinals was the last team that I feel like we beat the crap out of in the NFC Championship game. That's it. Connor's over here waving to people on Facebook Live. He's famous.
Mom says I look dead, but I've got so much energy right now. I'm just trying to not do a handstand in the middle of the room.
I don't know. You kind of do look dead.
Oh, I'm ready to go. I could play 9 innings of solid baseball right now.
I'm like the Yankees last night. So Carolina's point differential this season is plus 33.
He's coming.
I think he's about to come punch me, or he's just going to leave the studio. He's going to take a paper towel. And he's leaving the studio. So Connor's gone.
He's
going
to go cry. Connor's going to cry.
But we haven't seen the conservative play calling so much this season because, I mean, Carolina's point differential is plus 33. And that ranks sixth in the league. That's pretty good. But the Panthers are about to get into a bulk of their schedule. Their next couple games are huge. I believe it's San Francisco, mm-hmm. and then I don't know the exact order, but it's Green Bay somewhere in there. Seattle comes up. We're definitely going to start playing New Orleans and Atlanta, to where Atlanta is trash this season, but Atlanta usually plays the Carolina Panthers well.
We got San Fran, then we get home against Tennessee, then we go on the road against Green Bay, which will be a tough game.
Three easy wins.
And then we get a get-right game against the Falcons.
Aaron Rodgers,
because that's
too.
The get-right game. Dude, the Rams are going to destroy the Falcons, and I'm done betting that the Falcons are going to win a game. I think I've had the worst takes when it's not Panthers on this show ever. Like, when I bet someone's going to win, they get blown out. I'm like, yeah, Atlanta's going to win this game against Houston. Nah, 50 burger.
Well, did
50
you,
burger.
Did you pick Louisville Clemson yesterday?
Yeah.
That was
no
my
way,
say.
No way. Clemson's not going to beat them by 24. They beat them 45-10.
Yeah, we both agreed to that one. I was like, 24 points? Because Louisville was at home, too, right?
My takes have just been garbage.
It's awful.
It's just been garbage.
I'm ready for NFC South play to finally start, though. I get in full swing.
Yeah, we still haven't played the Saints or the Falcons yet.
Which is kind of odd, isn't it? Because the Jets are going in playing to the Patriots for the second time this
year. I know that the Panthers always end their season with the Saints. The Saints are usually NFC South division team that we play.
At home.
We play like two times in 3 weeks.
Or 14-16.
They're
it's either the Saints or the Falcons. I know the year we went to the Super Bowl, the Falcons beat us that last game of the year.
Yes. That was because we were resting.
It's always a divisional game. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
It's always a divisional game.
I know we normally just get Tampa Bay out of the way, but if the Panthers could have just gotten that first win against Tampa Bay. Let's talk about some players that have surprised you on the Panthers so far as we're talking about this bye week. One of them with me is Joey Sly.
In a not good way, right?
In a not good way.
Joey Sly has been rough lately.
He's had one. He missed his very first kick in the NFL.
That was fine. I understand that.
And then he had that rough game. Was that a London game where he missed three?
No, I think it was
the week before.
It was the
it?
Week before. Yes. Was it Jacksonville?
Yes, Jacksonville is when he missed a couple.
Yeah.
So that was a rough week. That was a rough week, but he's still one of the points leaders in the NFL. He's proven, I think him and Matt Prater of the Lions are the only, they're tied.
Love
for
Matt Prater.
I do too. They're tied for most field goals 50 yards or more so far this season.
I've told you guys this before, but there is nothing quite like a long field goal that gets me jazzed up in a
football game.
And it sounds so stupid. But when somebody hits a 60-yard field goal,
just
I'm like,
There's a video of me watching the Gano field goal against the Giants 6-3, and I'm just watching the TV, and I'm like, no way!
Like a winning touchdown pass has nothing on a long field goal.
Really? I agree with that. Because you're just waiting for the field goal to happen. You're just like, good snap, good hold. I'm so nervous for the holders in those situations.
Yeah.
I would drop the ball all the time. What's a player? Because, you know, there's a base. You could say Christian McCaffrey. You could say Kyle Allen. But what's a player that may have gone under people's radars that have really impressed you with the Panthers?
I don't know about going under the radar, and I know we've talked a lot about Spidey, but Brian Burns.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I know we just sat here and said how good of a pick he was, but this guy has been nothing short of incredible for this team. Getting off of the line and to the quarterback is this kid's strength. They were worried about his size, but his speed is really showing up, and he is a monster on that defensive line.
Yeah, the player that has really impressed me in Dante Jackson's absence is Ross Cockrell. And I think Ross Cockrell has played really well the past two games. Maybe three games, I believe. I think he went out of the Houston game.
He had a couple bad spells or bad coverages against Chark, I'm pretty sure, in Jacksonville. But overall, he has like two interceptions
so far,
right?
And this is after a pretty major leg injury last season. Was unable to play all season long. Came in, learned a new position at safety. Now he's a cornerback safety hybrid. Just playing really well in Dante's absence. I think that was one of the major question marks the past 2 weeks, was how is our secondary going to do without Jackson, who has been kind of a beast when it comes to turning the ball over. He had two picks against Arizona, and then he goes down against Houston. And somehow we still win that game against Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins on mm-hmm. both sides. Ross Cockrell, a big part of that. He's been my big one that surprised me.
And I also always mention how James Bradberry. I think
that's who I was going to say.
I think this year James Bradberry is an elite cornerback.
Outside of DJ Chark.
Outside
DJ tore up Bradberry, not Cockrell.
Was it Bradbury, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
But see, but DJ Chark, he's a great wide receiver.
Yeah.
But then Bradbury also shut down DeAndre Hopkins.
That's true.
So it's a kind of give and take. But he's tied for second in interceptions this season, most interceptions in the NFL. Bradbury's also tied for second with the lowest passer rating of an opponent on the receivers he's guarding. And it's like 44 QBR or whatever for opposing quarterbacks. James Bradbury, and I've said it on Twitter, I've said it on shows, is definitely an elite quarterback. Well, we kind of talked about the Panthers. We talked about the World Series. Sundays we normally reserve for NFL. We would keep talking about the Panthers, of course, that they were playing. They play the undefeated San Francisco 49ers next week, so you can catch our game preview next week on the Rookies on Saturday and Sunday. Now let's transfer over to today's lineup around the NFL, because it's a pretty stacked lineup. There are a few games to where they can be very fun games to watch.
It's a solid slate.
Let's just start. Before we do games, let me just read some things about some players. Patrick Mahomes, who hurt his knee, dislocated his knee, is going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara are both out for the New Orleans Saints. Jalen Ramsey and Todd Gurley are supposed to be in. A.J. Green is still out, not making progress like they thought he would. Engram and Saquon are both in for the Giants. Huge additions. They lost their number one running back to a high ankle sprain. Come back a little bit earlier than they expected him to, and their number one tight end. So that'll be nice for them to have. And Cooper is to play against the Eagles. Amari Cooper is going to play against Philadelphia.
It's big for my fantasy team.
Yeah, I have Kamara out.
How you guys doing in fantasy? You guys still
terrible?
I'm
like 2-4 in both my leagues.
So some jerk beat me last week.
Was it me?
Yeah. No, it was him.
Oh.
I haven't beaten everybody.
I beat you 2 weeks ago.
It's okay. Yeah, you're like 5-1. It kind of makes me mad.
I am 5-1.
But so one of the games I have to watch, we just talked about them, Houston Texans versus the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Texans are 4-2, Colts 3-2. I like both the quarterbacks a lot. I like the transition Deshaun Watson has had to the NFL. I wish he never suffered that injury. I don't wish any injury on any player, but I can only imagine how good Watson would be right now if he had a healthy leg. Jacoby Brissett and the Colts have been proven faring pretty well without Andrew Luck since he pretty abruptly retired. But I think the AFC South is a competitive division. I think the AFC South and the NFC South are kind of they can mirror each other in ways, just by you have like the same one or two teams that always goes off, and you have the same crappy team, but you just never know. The division games are always close. They're always competitive. If the Colts win, the Colts will have sole possession of first place in the division for the first time since 2015. And the Colts' next four games, this is huge for the Colts, because their next four games are against Denver, Pittsburgh, Miami, and Jacksonville. So they don't have that tough of a schedule after the Texans. And Pittsburgh's the only away game of the four. The rushing attack.
That'll be nice for them to have a little three game.
And that's what I'm saying. If they can get this win.
Oh, I know. I'm agreeing.
Yeah,
I'm agreeing.
If they
I'm
can
agreeing.
Get this win and then go into that four-game stretch.
Absolutely.
To where, you know, they could be some potential losses. But after they beat the Texans, you think they'll be riding on momentum. And the Colts and the Texans are probably two of the best rushing games, two of some of the best rushing offenses in the league. Colts are fourth-ranked rushing attack with 142 yards a game. Houston is fifth with 139. I'm ready to see these two running backs go at it.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me about the Colts here, and I really do like the Colts in this game, both of them actually coming off huge wins against the Chiefs. Colts had a bye week. But they have some nagging injuries. Darius Leonard gets back in the lineup today, which is huge for them. Stud linebacker for them. But Malik Hooker is doubtful for the game, and he's you like that name. He's a really good safety for the Colts out of Ohio State. He's played really well this year. I'm looking at that. I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a day. I think this is going to be a really good game.
Deshaun Watson might be one of the most underrated players in the National Football League, and I think that's what it is. I mean, I think he's a lot better than everybody's giving him credit, or I think he's a lot better than the credit everybody's giving him. And I also think that offensive line, for what he's done compared to that offensive line that he has, I think he's an elite quarterback in this league compared to what everybody else thinks.
That O-line is coming around. Laremy Tunsil trade is looking pretty good for the Texans right now, sitting at 4-2. And like you said, Mackie, the battle for the AFC South. When's the last time that the Texans led the AFC South?
The Texans has been winning the AFC South recently. It's been the Colts haven't had sole first possession.
There you go.
First place possession of the division since 2015.
That's what I
yeah.
heard. Yeah, but Brissett is actually 3-0 against the Texans in his career. I like the Colts to come out on top in a close game. I do think Deshaun Watson has a good game, but I think Colts win 27-24 with it being an Indy.
I was going to do 31-28 Houston. I think Deshaun Watson in clutch moments. We saw it the very first week of the season on Monday night against the Saints. I saw that Deshaun Watson is a clutch quarterback. He can go against the defense that you put at him. It's just the offensive line for Houston. And also, the Colts right now have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
They do.
So it's kind of just the tale of two very different teams in
this
AFC South matchup.
If that offensive line was that good in the last 6 years.
No, yeah, they would. I agree with that.
There are two games I actually would like to look at. Sunday at 4:25 and Monday at 8:15. I wanted to look at New Orleans and Chicago because I think that's going to be a real good game.
America's game of the week, boy.
Especially because of Todd Gurley being – wait – oh, I don't even know what I just said. Alvin Kamara being out, not Todd Gurley. The New Orleans Saints have Alvin Kamara, not Todd Gurley. Especially with Kamara being out, I'd like to see what this Bears defense is going to do to New Orleans. I think that'll be a tight game. I would probably tell you 28-21, something amongst close to.
I still think the Saints win this game just because Chicago's offense hasn't shown me anything this year.
No,
they've been
agree.
So bad, and I've bet that they would win a game or two against the Raiders. I thought they'd win that game, and they couldn't. They could hardly put up any points. I know the Saints not having Kamara is gonna be a big blow. I still think they can win. They played really well with Teddy Bridgewater. Their defense has showed up when they need to. I think this is going to be a good game, though. I really do, but I think the Saints are going to come out and win.
I like the Saints. I like Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater, of course, is playing. Teddy Bridgewater is definitely more of a game manager as a backup than Kyle Allen, but that's what you need in backups. You need a person that can just go down
the
field
the game
and just score. Yeah, you just need someone to get the ball to the talent, which both the Saints and Panthers have a lot of talent. Saints are currently 5-1. That's who the Panthers are chasing in the division. This is a big game. This is a big game for the Panthers because they're trying to get that sole first possession of the NFC South. But it also could be a big game later on because if somehow the Bears win, we could be looking at a team that may be into the playoffs because they win the NFC South, and that's the Saints. And then we could also be looking at a team that wins the NFC North or makes it into the NFC wild card. This could potentially be two playoff teams at the end of the season. So this could have huge playoff repercussions.
Yeah. Yeah, who do you think wins this game, Mac?
I'm going to do Bears. I really do. Okay. I think the defense is going to frazzle Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. I'm on my own. I'm on my island
Ayo.
Here. The game I was looking at, though, is going to be Eagles-Seahawks. Not Eagles, Seahawks, Ravens, Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson is legit, dude. What he has done this year with the little amount of help as he's had, Tyler Lockett. Will Disley goes down last week. Now he's got Luke Wilson who's got to step up and make big plays. He's just amazing. 14 touchdowns, no picks through six games.
I could probably average 50 yards a game with Russell Wilson as my quarterback.
You think so?
I think I could average about 50
yards. I don't know. I think Russ is so good. And usually O-lines...
That's why I would get 50 yards a game.
O-lines don't
anybody
like...
Anybody else, I wouldn't get
O-lines
any yards.
Do not usually like playing behind guys who can scramble, stuff like that, because they
you never know
have to improvise.
Yeah,
right?
You never know
you don't
know
where to block. Receivers often don't like that as well, because they kind of have to break off the route tree. Some guys love that. And I feel like Russell is the best, bar none, when it comes to that. Just escapability, making something happen out of nothing. And he's putting together an MVP season. I think the Seahawks take care of business here. Ravens are a good team, not great. Their defense has got some issues. But they have Marcus Peters today. Is he going to start today? I don't know.
I have no idea either. Russell Wilson, 14 touchdowns, no interceptions so far this season. MVP candidate for sure. I like watching Russell Wilson play. Real quick before we go to rookie mistakes, I do want to shout out one more game because personally I love watching these divisions game, and that's the NFC North. It's the Vikings versus Lions. I'm a fan of Matthew Stafford. Not a fan of Kirk Cousins, but of course after I say Kirk Cousins is trash on air, he goes out and throws for four touchdowns or whatever.
So he'll do it today.
Yeah, he'll probably do it today.
I feel bad for the Lions though after last week.
I do. That was a horrible call on the refs. That'll probably be discussed.
Are we going to get fined for that?
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe.
It's ridiculous.
But with the Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions, Minnesota's coming off a huge win off Philly, 38-20. Kirk Cousins, can he reproduce that play? I think, what if Stephon Diggs leaving is kind of rallying the troops together? Because Thielen called out Kirk Cousins a little bit. Kirk Cousins apologized to his wide receivers saying, hey, guys, I know I'm not playing that well. But then, of course, the week after that, he comes out and just gets the ball to Stephon Diggs.
And now Stephon Diggs just keeps winking at the camera.
Exactly. So I think, what if this is what the team is rallying around? Who knows? But I have the Lions winning because I'm a big believer in Matthew Stafford in that deep game. And right now, we're going to transfer over to rookie mistakes. My first one is going to be with the 6-overtime game, Virginia Tech versus UNC.
That was tough.
Both teams, more of a rookie mistake for UNC because they're the ones who lost, but both teams missed four consecutive field goals starting in the third overtime. So to the kickers of Virginia Tech and UNC, rookie mistake.
Just a rough going. All right, guys, I think everybody saw the debacle that was the Oklahoma Sooners cart yesterday. It was hilarious. I'm not worried about the people that got that were on that cart. They are absolutely fine. Somebody posted, you know, oh, prayers, thoughts and prayers. The people are fine. I saw the video. They literally landed on grass. They're okay. It was funny as hell. That was hilarious to watch. That thing took the sharpest turn, and the horses just kept going. Like, they did not care. They're like, all right, y'all paid us to do this.
We keep going.
So we're going to do our job. But Oklahoma Sooners, anytime you've got some wild animals out there and you're not really sure what they're going to do, this could happen, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like these animals. It's almost like these animals would want to, like, run in the wild or something.
Nah, they love football fields. Oklahoma Sooners, that's a big old rookie mistake.
Are you boys ready?
I've been ready.
Boys, I'll give you a hint. Number 54 in pinstripes. Aroldis Chapman.
Oh.
A slider, bro. I know I mentioned this 20 times. A slider, an 84-mile-an-hour slider to one of the best hitters in baseball. You leave it up in a way where you know he's going to send it over?
Send it.
Chapman, bro. Rookie mistake. What are you doing?
What are you doing, Chapman? Oh, man. I wonder what it feels like to not have your baseball team in the World Series. Well, that'll do it for us today for the rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
It's done that the last 10 years, pal.
For Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, I'm Mackie G. We have Connor. We have Bernie right here. Check us out on FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com and the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte mobile app. You can check our downloadable free podcast under the Rookies tab on the app. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday morning from 10 to 11. Thank you for listening. And have a great day of watching some great NFL football.
Or hockey.